Now, some of you are afraid to step out of this form. Others of you are delighted to do it. By the end of the seminar, we should be able to experience the freedom from form. I know some of you are going to do it. I know some of you won't. But I'd like to see more of you make the effort to finally transcend the material sense of life. Not just for a momentary experience. That's easy. But as a way of life. And so we're going to try a little experiment right now. I'd like you to see that you have already died many times. You can't count the number of times you have died. And yet here you are again. And each one of those previous deaths has been due to one thing. You didn't learn who you were. That's the only reason anyone has ever died. They didn't learn who they were, and they had to. Start again. Now we're going to accept that I'm not in a body. I'm not going to leave this body at all. I'm not going to move out of this body. I'm not going to travel through space and leave the body here and then come back to it. You already are everywhere in space. You don't want to travel to a material place. Spirit doesn't do that. Spirit doesn't leave a physical body. Spirit is not in one. And so if you have harbored the notion that someday you're going to leave your physical form and travel, try to see that that is another form of hypnotism. You are not in a physical form if you are spirit. And try to see that now, that this is one of the basic hypnotisms which has kept man in a state of bondage or captivity. He really thinks that he is encased in a form. He thinks that God created hearts that can falter, brains that can be attacked by tumors, limbs that can be broken, organs that in some way can fail to perform. He even thinks that God sends earthquakes, plagues, pestilences, and all forms of punishment. There is no such God. And there is no such form. It's the ignorance of the fact that I am the spirit, which has no physical form, and I am the spirit of God. There's no one to punish me. There's no one to send me to purgatory. There's not even a God to help me. There's no God that's going to permit me to hurt myself. There's no God that's going to permit me to die. There's no God that's going to do anything to take me away from the ones I love. There simply is no such God. There's no place I can ever go except where I already am. I am permanent being. Without beginning and without end. And I have no binding form. I'm not encased in one. This is the consciousness that doesn't try to leave a body. It isn't in one. It's also the consciousness that refuses to be in a spot. It doesn't matter that people see a form in a chair. That doesn't mean you have to be in that spot. They are not aware of spirit. You are not in a chair. And you must practice the knowledge right now that you're back in your home state just as much as if you were never left there. You know you're in Hawaii. You know you're in Texas. You know you're in Norway. You can go anywhere in the universe and know that you're there, and you must learn that this is the truth of your being. It has nothing to do with physical forms. You know that you're in the year 1800 and the year 1600 and the year 1 BC. You know that you're in every tomorrow, and that's because you're not in a body. And you know, when you keep practicing this, you will see the fruitage of it. Now let's go into what is called the future. We allegedly are here on August 8th of 1976. That's like saying that God is here in 1976 on August 8th, but God doesn't exist in tomorrow. Just as tomorrow is going to come to you, tomorrow is going to come to God. And you know it's not true. God exists in every tomorrow, long before tomorrow appears in our horizon, but you are not separated from God. You are not separated from spirit, and you must see that you already exist in every tomorrow. This isn't conjecture. This is a fact you can live from. I, not in body, being pure spirit, I exist wherever God is because I am the spirit of God. I exist in every tomorrow, right now. Without limitation, without end. In other words, I am eternal being, right now. My life is eternal right now. I am the Spirit of God. I'm simply obeying the first commandment. Now, every time you come back into a form, you're disobeying the first commandment. And so, the more often that you do not come back into form, but rather know that the form appearing is not you, that you are the invisible life where the world sees form, that you are infinite being, eternal being. The more you can be aware of this, the more you will see that form changing. The more its experiences will be changing. It no longer is you. It ceases to be you, but it is the outer appearance of the quality of your consciousness. The changing quality of your consciousness will translate itself into the changing experiences of that appearance called form. But it will never be you. And you can get to a point where you become very conscious that the form is never you. You can see the illusion of it very clearly. And you can become aware of a self that is under grace to such an extent that the form is equally under grace. Even the imaginary form comes under grace. It's fed. It's sheltered. It's housed. It moves in magical ways. And you will discover someday the power to make that form disappear and appear at will. But you will never do it if you live in that form, as that form. Number 10 stands for soul. 10 commandments. Each one a pathway to the soul. And that is only a beginning. The soul is simply the gateway to heaven on earth. Now let's not get back to the form yet, because before we do, we want to establish that when we appear back in form, we're still not in it. With our eyes open later, we want to know we're not in it. And I would like you to practice this after the seminar, so that you make contact with people knowing that you are not in the form, but they don't know it, and that's your secret. And then when you do that and develop the capacity to know this well, you will learn how to take them out of the form in your consciousness, so that you know they are not in the form. First you. Don't bother too much about them for a while until you've established you are not in the form, until you really have this clear, until you enjoy not being in the form, until you no longer are willing to cater to the form. It even says to you, please let me do this, and you say, no, I'm sorry. I'm not in the form. I have no other gods but spirit, no other activity but spirit. You must learn to take control by knowing who you are, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now that's for those of you who have wanted absolute truth. And those who do not, they go back into their forms anytime they want, but please don't study with me. I'm not interested in working with students who want to live in forms. And the reason is because you can't split your purposes and succeed. And we who are willing to make this effort must walk with each other. We cannot walk with the world in form while we try not to live in form. We must take the world out of form in our own consciousness. We will walk through the world, and we will learn how to see those who are there in the pure spiritual nature of their being, because we have made the effort, the sacrifice, the surrender of our own concept of form first. We cannot take the world out of form while we are in form. Even though you do this, you will not lose the love of the people you really love. You will not lose your job. you will lose nothing. All you will do will be to invoke the law of grace, which multiplies. You find love flowing at you from every direction. There's no obstruction. You find all kinds of things flowing out of your own being into visibility. You'll find that what looked like a great sacrifice was just the opposite. It was the entrance to the treasures of reality. Because it breaks the mirage. It breaks the decoys which look like they're so important and then vanish when you get them. What you get this way is reality. And it doesn't play games. It's not coy. It's not double-minded. It's substance, gold tried in the fire. And for those of you who have already taken this step, you know that it was difficult. But you know that when you get back into form, life is horrible. It's just a big weight to carry around. And there's no control over it. You're under the control of the world. It can slug you when it wants to. It can kick you when it wants to. It can do anything to you. All you can do is resist materially. Strangely, when you recapture the consciousness that I'm not in the form, no way to explain it, but no longer does the world attack. It just comes to your door, knocks, and puts a pretty package there with your name on it. Spirit has never created anything material. Spirit does not protect anything material. There's no God looking over the shoulder of a material being and protecting that individual, whether he goes to church 7 times a week. The God of material man is a do-nothing God. The God of material man lets man starve, lets man die, lets man suffer, because that God only exists in the mind of material man. Is it clear that we are moving in one spiritual sense of life, not in duality, not separated from spirit, not willing to commit the one stupid crime of being separate from the substance of life? And that is the challenge we will face tomorrow and again and again and again, knowing that when we face it, we are strengthening our capacity to walk in the spirit. Pilate, disease, germ, lack, limitation, thou hast no power over me, because I am not what you think I am. I am what the Father says I am, the Spirit of God. And so I can take this pain. I can take this problem, knowing it has no existence in my being. That's the challenge. And when you have won by your stand in spirit more than once and witnessed the miracle of truth in consciousness, then you will no longer have to say, when will I live my eternal life? You'll know you're living it. You will not have to say, when will I commune with the masters, the ascended masters? you will be doing this, because your spirit is one with every ascended master now. There is nothing you will have to wonder about. You will be living it, being it. Maybe tomorrow we're going to have a lot of empty seats, but I'll just presume you're all invisible. Look ahead at the second commandment. Thou shalt not make any graven images. And between now and tomorrow, see if you can accept the fact that physical bodies are graven images. And that our dear friend Moses was telling us all along to get out of the physical body. You see, if we didn't start the seminar with this and ended up with it, we have 9 lessons in the body, and we don't want them. We probably will have meetings that run between an hour and an hour and a half, rather than 2-hour meetings, because it might get a little difficult to hold a truth, and we really don't need the 2 hours if we're doing what we should be doing. We may be putting some things on these tapes that will carry you further as you practice them at home later. Because, truly, in 5 days and 5 nights, the truth that enters the brain doesn't penetrate the heart enough. It has to be lived with. The challenges have to be met. The stands have to be taken. But you've got to know why you're doing it and how to do it and what the fruitage from it can be before you're willing to make these stands. When you return tonight to go to sleep, please get out of the body first. Don't put that body to sleep. You've been doing it too long. Step out of the body consciously, and you'll find you're sleeping. It's impossible to have insomnia when you step out of the body. It works in about 2 minutes. When you succeed in stepping out of form, you either have a joyous experience or you're asleep. Now, please remember, too, that when you do this before you go to sleep, it won't be the same kind of sleep. It'll be vastly different. In the first place, you won't be sleeping. You'll only think you're sleeping. Your soul never goes to sleep. But you will be more conscious of your soul's activity than when you are physically asleep. And if I see some smiles tomorrow morning, I'll know that this has happened. Then you may be willing every night to step out of that form before you go to sleep. And there's a corollary. When you awaken, see what you can do with stepping out of the concept of form, because you're really awakening to form. You're not awakening. You're awakening to a sense of form, but it isn't there. And that's the time to again readjust your consciousness to the knowledge that I'm not in this form. And after a few days, it becomes more normal, and the form becomes quite a headache. You don't want it around. But it's also free. It doesn't seem to be subject to the ills of the world. Now see if you don't feel a different kind of freedom. If you will do this tonight, before you go to sleep, and in the morning when you wake up. And then, even though it may be a difficult thing to know what to do next, if you're willing to accept spiritual identity, spirit itself will do its thing. And we'll simply see what looks like your form while spirit is doing its thing. You will feel your detachment from that form. Now let's begin then living out the first commandment, all is spirit. We're changing from any concept of matter into the knowledge that all is spirit. And wherever I break down from that truth, I am violating the first commandment, and I cannot enter, number 10, the soul, which is going to marry my spirit and give birth to the Christ identity, which is my eternal life realized. And so the reward is worth everything we can do. And of course, being what would may be called an advanced class, or at least a class in which those who attend are seeking truth without compromise, life without compromise, it's about time that we faced these things and consciously did them. Letting other things go. Anything that would detract goes. Because anything that will detract is simply a way of stabbing our own selves in the back. I don't think I'll keep you much longer tonight, and I would appreciate meeting those of you who are here. It's going to take a long time, but Betty and I would like to meet every one of the new faces, to be sure. And we have so many friends, and before it's over, we're all going to be dear friends, I'm sure. But we'd like to get started tonight and say hello to everyone. So when we have finished our last meditation, if you feel up to it, well, just come up by here and let's meet each other. Now, the absolute truths we're to face are that spirit is all, God is all, beside God there is nothing. And so I can look around the world and I can see that disease can not exist except in a false state of consciousness. Nothing unlike God exists because God is all. And the only thing left for me to do then is to change my state of awareness about this so-called opposite from God. I simply will look at it another way. My sense mind will still see it. My sense mind will still experience it. But there is something else behind my sense mind which is going to veto what my sense mind is doing. My real self is going to veto the false evidence of the senses. My real self is going to cling only to the knowledge that I am pure spirit, perfect as God. That right here, I am not separated from the Spirit of God. There's no place right here where God begins or God ends and I begin. Right here, I and the Spirit of God are continuous being, and this lie of an aging self the deteriorating self, a weak self, a faltering self. It cannot be true. They're not speaking about your being. Your senses are lying. You must be perfect now as your Father. There's no other you. And this is the stand you take in the face of anything, because only God is. Nothing else is. And that figment of imagination cannot stand there forever if you will not wilt and waver from the knowledge that only God is. Same with your neighbor. He may have a lot of empty beer cans in the morning in his garbage pail, but that doesn't matter to you. Only God is. And when you read about crime and corruption, only God is. Only God is. This is our absolute way of life. And therefore, anything that is not God is not. It has no existence. It's just a material concept floating around. Floating because nobody has taken the trouble to know only God is. And you will see that there are no people where you see the thief, no people where you see the drunk, no people where you see the corrupt politician. Only God is. You're walking in a universe where only God is. And the more you notice, the more your heart will respond with joy. Only God is. You're walking through God all the time. This little form doesn't know it, but you know it. You're always walking through God. You're walking through your own spiritual being. You're walking through the perfect kingdom of God here and now. This is only the first doorway, the first temple. The temple of divine will. Divine will is here because God is. The will of God is perfection. The power of God is maintaining the will of God. There is nothing here but the will of God performing its perfection. The first commandment is teaching us that divine will is all that is here, performing, maintaining its perfect universe. Thou shalt have no other gods but my divine will. My spirit in you, as you. Performing my will in you, as you. And my will is not that you be sick. My will is not that you age. My will is not that you lack. My will is that you be perfect. And it is being done now. Whether you see it or not is not the point. It is being done. This is the acceptance of my divine will in you now, regardless of what you see. And this is the challenge. Will you accept what you see, or will you accept the words of the Father which say, my will in you is performing its perfection? Do you see that when you make the acceptance, you are being spiritual being? When you refuse the acceptance, you're back in a form. The perfect divine will of God in you is always in you, because you are the spirit in which the will of God is. You see, the spirit of God cannot be with its own perfect will. And therefore, because you are that spirit, the will of that spirit in you is performing its perfect will. And whatever you see that is imperfect about you is a lie. And will remain there to taunt you as long as you think it's there. But when you face it with truth in consciousness, I am the Spirit. The perfect will of the Father in me is performing its perfection. here and now. You've got a weapon. You're not at the mercy of the world mind. That's precisely what the first command was giving you. We're going to call those the 10 soul commandments, because their purpose is to open your soul. On behalf of the students of Portland who have prepared this seminar, I want to thank you all for attending, and be sure that everything you do is important to every one of the girls who have prepared the housing structure, accommodations and all that. And so just speak up, and whatever you're missing and need, be sure that everyone wants you to be happy and comfortable. We'll have a meditation in the morning at 9:30, class at 10. And we're going to move ahead quite rapidly. So unless you're practicing what we're talking about tonight, you may find yourself a little behind the others who are practicing it. So we'll give you a few hours to catch up, and we'll see you at 9:30, and off we are. Thanks very much.